This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. The Southeast has experienced plenty of loss in the past decade. Hurricanes washed away coastlines, textile jobs disappeared, and the Atlanta Braves gave up the World Series to the Yankees. But is the South also losing its southernness? A new study from Vanderbilt University says the number of people in the region who describe themselves as southerners has declined 7% in the past 10 years. So what's going on with the nation's most easily identifiable region? Wherever you live, do you define yourself in part by your geography? If you've relocated, how long did it take you to identify with your new hometown or region? Will you ever be able to say you're from there? Call us at 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. With me now is Professor Henry Watson, director of the Center for the Study of the American South at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here.
And
that's Harry Watson.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
My first Yankee mistake.
Oh, hey, I'll get over it.
I hope
that
I'm not
was before.
Well, first of all, Professor, you know, there used to be a joke that you could tell that you were in the South by the hell yeah test.
Yeah.
Basically, you knew you were in the South when people started answering the question, are you
hell
a Southerner?
Yeah.
Said, hell yes. Is that cry dying out now?
I don't know that it's disappeared. It certainly hasn't disappeared, although I certainly haven't heard it in a long time. But the attitude is still there. The Griffin survey showed that over 70% of people who live in the South still describe themselves as Southerners, so that's not an extinction by any means, but there does seem to be a trend that the number of people who live here and call themselves Southerners seems to be declining among most demographic groups.
And what accounts for that decline? Is it because there are not so many people living there who were born in the South? There are more people?
I think that's probably the biggest single reason, yeah. About 50 years ago, in the 1950 census, the South led the country in the number of people who were born there, who lived there. And that's no longer the case. You've got states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, Iowa, Ohio, these states all have very, very high proportions of state residents who were born there. And there's places like South Carolina, for example, that used to be right up there at the top of the nation are now in 20-something place. And I think that's the reason for that is that there's a huge number of people from outside the South who now have moved down here, whether for retirement or to find a job or whatever. So that's certainly made an impression on your poll results.
You know, it's a two-way street. I mean, people can move to the South and continue to call themselves New Yorkers, if they're from New York or whatever, but do the people in the South also never consider them to be Southern because they were not born there or did not come there?
Well, I think that depends on the individual a lot, and it kind of depends on whether you're talking about a suburbanite in a sophisticated community who considers himself a Southerner, and the guy coming in from next door is from New York, and 15 years later, the New Yorker feels more like a South Carolinian, and so they're all in the same community together, or whether you're talking about a rural county way off somewhere where people will still say, well, you know, the Joneses haven't lived here but 35 years, but it's amazing how well people like them, you know. And so it kind of depends on the environment that you're talking about.
Well, let's explore this question of Southern identity a little bit more. And in order to do that, I'm going to bring in another guest, Pat Conroy. He is the author, most recently, of the memoir My Losing Season. Of course, he's written many, many other books, which I'm sure our listeners, many of our listeners have read. He is joining us from his home on Fripp Island, South Carolina. Thanks for being with us.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. Listen, the first line of one of your books, Prince of Tides, reads, "My wound is geography. It is also my anchorage, my port of call." So what does that mean? Is being Southern purely a matter of geography or a matter of the mind?
I think geography has a lot to do with it. And I was thinking about coming on the show and what I was going to say. And when people move to the South, just like in this geography eventually is going to shape them. I saw last year, I was in a Chinese restaurant in Florence, South Carolina, and a fight broke out between two Chinese men. Again, they're screaming at each other and yelling at each other. And I asked the woman at the cash register what language they were speaking, and she said Cantonese. And then her little girl, this woman's little girl, came up to her and started talking to her mother, and she was talking with a southern accent. Mm. And she was learning English in Florence, South Carolina, and the accent was coming. There was another thing about it. When the Vietnamese migration started coming into the South, is I thought Vietnamese people were much smaller than Americans. Yet there's a linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys who grew up in Texas, who is Vietnamese. And I just think the South coming here changes everything. And eventually the South is going to have at you.
Yeah. Interesting, though, you know, I lived in a southern town for a short time, for about a year. But I never lost my identity as a Yankee. I always knew. And it the South felt like a very different place to me, more than other parts of the countries I've visited. It seems like it has a culture all unto itself.
Yeah, I think that's true. And certainly my mother gave it to me. And my mother came from the mountains of Alabama and Georgia. And when she raised her children, I mean, the South, we traveled all over in military bases, but she made sure that we thought of ourselves as Southern, acted Southern, and by that she meant courteous. And she was fierce in keeping our identities as we traveled around the country.
And what about
you? That doesn't surprise me. I can certainly, I can see the same kinds of things happening in my own family. I just think that there may be a decline in the number of mothers who do that, not a disappearance, but a decline, and also a greater number of, ethnically mixed marriages, in which mom thinks that's ridiculous, even though dad thinks it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Let's see if we can get a call in here. We have Scott, and he's calling us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I guess I should say good afternoon, y'all.
Afternoon. Good evening.
I'm an Alabama native who moved to South Florida some almost 10 years ago now, and the experience of a Southerner moving south to what is basically the sixth borough of New York, just after New Jersey, there were some culture shocks. I'll admit that, but it's interesting to me because there are certain, I guess, characteristics of Southern behavior, whether it's diet, the black-eyed peas, cornbread, whatever, to religious beliefs, celebration of holidays, and so forth. No matter what color you were from the South, you pretty much have the same background. I mean, I've worked with a good friend of mine now as a manager who's black and from Virginia for many years, and we could always, play off each other and kind of make fun of the way everybody does down here because they're off from the North or from someplace else. They do it so differently than we do. But we have that common ground of being from the South as our common denominator, if you will, and built a great working relationship that way.
Pat Conroy, what do you see as some of the most powerful sort of signposts of Southern identity?
You know, the call just called in to tickle me because I married an Alabama woman, and that stuff just don't wash out. And they carry that stuff with them like camels do their humps. But he's absolutely right. I mean, I was living in San Francisco several years ago when a black man flagged me down in my car and pulled me over on the side of the road. And what he saw my South Carolina license plate. And he was from Charleston. We sat there talking on the side of the road for half an hour about what he missed. And he missed the food. He missed his church. He missed the family gatherings. He missed the things that, you know, I think make Southerners Southern no matter where they go.
All right, if you'd like to join our discussion about Southern identity, and really we're going to move now into a discussion of any kind of regional identity. How do you identify yourself if you've moved to another part of the country, if you've moved to the South, but you're from the Midwest? Do you still consider yourself a Midwesterner? We'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-989-8255, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So just to move this discussion away, gentlemen, a little bit from the South, I'm going to read some emails that have come in here. Here's one from Oregon. It says, I live in Oregon and absolutely identify myself in that context. I grew up here, absolutely love the place. In fact, my parents, both Oregonians, were living in Washington when I was born. They actually drove across the border so that I'd be born in an Oregon hospital and therefore be an authentic Oregonian.
That person sounds Southern.
But it's true that I'm sure that there are people all over the country listening right now saying, but wait a second, I have that same strong sense of identity from the part of the country where I'm from.
I live in a place called Fripp Island, South Carolina. And my favorite fact about Fripp Island is the largest club on the island is the Ohio Club.
Uh-huh.
And when Ohio State plays Michigan each year, it's a holy day of obligation on Fripp Island. And all the Ohioans gather together to watch the game.
Okay, and here's another one from, I moved from Nebraska in 1988 and have lived in Arkansas since then. I've lived almost 15 years in the Midwest and in the South. If anyone asks me, I'm a Southern Yankee. I'm not a Southerner. I cheer for a Yankee team, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and even if I lived here the rest of my life, I'm still going to be a Yankee. That's from William in North Little Rock, Arkansas. Is there such a thing, gentlemen, as a Southern Yankee, Harry Watson?
I don't know that I would have used that expression, but there's certainly a lot of people who consider themselves Northerners who live in the South and think of themselves always as Northerners and will never, ever think of themselves as Southerners. I know that for a fact because I'm married to one. That's not an unfamiliar concept.
Those kids will be Southern.
Well, I hope so. I think Hannah is. I'm not sure about Adam.
All right, let's take a call from John in, I think he's in North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was commenting about what your person said previously about, I guess, learning about being Southern. And I just wanted to say that, yeah, I sort of agree with him. I was taught, the only way to describe it was taught by my grandparents. And it's an interesting thing. I'm old enough to remember when North Carolina integrated in the schools, and it was confusing for us because we were kids and we were trying to figure out why is everybody yelling. And as I got older and hit high school, there were things that I was embarrassed about.
And do you call yourself a Southerner, John, or not?
When I was in high school and first started college, no. I was slightly embarrassed. But as I got older, I came to realize that there are a lot of things that I am proud that I know about. I was taught how to be polite, for one thing, by my grandparents, among many things. And those come back, I guess, as you get older. And that's, if I had to pick one thing that describes what is Southern, it would be how to be courteous, for lack of a better term. But it was confusing for a while because there are a lot of good things, but there are also some bad things.
Well, you know, thanks so much for your call, John. And I'm going to ask Harry Watson and Pat Conroy to respond. There is a history there that has to be dealt with. Is there not, Pat Conroy?
Yes, there is. And it's you know, the history of race in the South is a tough history and a complicated one, and it's still complicated. My sister complicated my family's life by marrying the guy who calls himself the Conroy family redneck. And Bobby Joe has, you know, brought, you know, the South into our family in a big way. But we've all had to learn to live with it. Bobby Joe loves NASCAR. And I remember when Dale Earnhardt was killed, I called Bobby Joe, and he was sobbing on the phone. So it is complicated by many things, but I think race is the thing that complicates the South more than anything else.
Harry Watson, I wonder if you
could... Yeah, that's absolutely true. I tell my students that, you know, never let anybody tell them that race or racism is a uniquely Southern phenomenon, but never let that be an excuse to ignore the fact that the South has a very special responsibility here. And it's... the existence of slavery is what set off, or rather the predominance of slavery is what set off the South in the first place. And, of course, it led to the Civil War and Reconstruction and Jim Crow and a whole battery of peculiar institutions that encouraged this this regional identification. And so, you know, there aren't virtually any white Southerners today who will come out and say, well, the old pre-1954 way was the right way to go, and I wish we would go back there. But nevertheless, there is a oh boy,
Harry, I'm
going to
have to. I'm going to have to be very northern and interrupt you because we've got to go. But thanks to both of you for being with us, Harry Watson. Harry Watson is the director of the Center for the Study of the American South, and Pat Conroy is the author of many books, including My Losing Season. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.